Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, it's been a massive weekend in Adelaide, Roo. The airport's full this morning. The highways out of Adelaide, people with their Holden and Ford shirts on and hats and Shane Van Gisbergen T-shirts. And that's just the women. And then there's the men as well. Yeah. They're all heading out of town today.
We are right in the middle of Mad March at the moment. I think everyone's starting to feel the pain a little bit and of playing up over the weekend and running amok, whether you are at the Clipsal or whether you're in Port Lincoln or whether you're at the festival or the fringe or whatever you're up to. You're up to something.
I was in town Saturday night. I went to a show at 6:30 and walked down Rundle Street at 7:30. It was packed. Packed. I've never seen so many people.
Yeah, people are out and about and they're having fun, and beautiful weather over the weekend as well to top it all off. So there'll be a lot of people just, do I have to get up this morning and do some work?
Made me think if you were from overseas and you walked into Rundle Street, you would have thought, bloody hell, this joint pumps.
This joint just rocks nonstop.
Oh, God, this Adelaide's all right.
Yeah, good joint, Adelaide.
Yep. Hey, what's coming up this morning, Rudy?
We are going to talk Clipsal a little bit later on. We've got Will Anderson, who's in Adelaide, to start his fringe shows for a couple of weeks. So Will will be in live with us. Mick Malloy will join us later on. We'll have a bit of a chat about the footy because both sides had another hit out over the weekend. And we might have a chat about Pauline Hanson a little bit later on as well.
Port Adelaide copped an injury. Jesper Pittard.
Yeah, it looked bad too.
Hamstring. What would you normally miss, do you think, Ruth?
Well, the way he did it, it looked very solid. He just grabbed it and stopped straight away. So I would think it'd be a month.
Okay.
Probably.
So misses the start of the season.
I would say.
Yeah, and the last year or two, quite seriously, he's been important to Port Adelaide, that rebound out of defence.
So probably most improved.
Yeah. All right, so let's hope he isn't too bad.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What's making news, Roo?
Victorian politics or politicians have decided to make it a bit easier for first home buyers over there. We know property's gone through the roof in Victoria and New South Wales, a lot higher than it has in South Australia. So they've decided to come out and axe stamp duty for houses under 600,000. This has come out over the last few days. So people over in Victoria can save about 4 to 5%, it's usually cost for stamp duty. So, on a house under 600,000, so 600,000 would be mid 20,000s, dits, which is a lot of money. I mean, that's for a lot of people, that's their deposit.
I just did the online calculator. 600 grand here would cost you $26,800 roughly.
There you go. And you get zero for it. It's just a
just writing a check, aren't
tax
you?
That you just go, what am I paying that for? Don't have to do that in Victoria now. So that's going to make it a hell of a lot easier for people over there to get into the market, even though it's about twice as expensive as what it is here. They've also come out, which I didn't realise at the same time, they've doubled the homeowners grant over there in regional areas in Victoria from 10,000 to 20,000 as well, which is going to make it a lot more enticing for people to move to country areas and build houses. And remember, we only said last week on this show how South Australian country towns are either holding or declining. I reckon there's only a couple that are holding. Every other regional town in South Australia is declining. And in Victoria, it's the opposite. All the towns over there in regional areas are expanding and thriving and really growing well. It's not surprising.
So 20 grand for a first home buyer.
Yep.
Plus the saving of the stamp duty.
Yep.
So it'll be well over 50 grand that you've saved. that'd help you buy a house.
Oh, huge. Absolutely huge. So this is interesting, and we'll read more about this. But, stamp duty is probably one of the most hated taxes going around, I would say, because you just know you get nothing for it. What am I paying that for?
Yeah. And it's big. It's a big check to
it's
write.
It's huge. Well, I think that'll cost them. I think I saw a figure over the weekend. Well, it's in the billions. Don't quote me on it, but it could be up to $4 or $5 billion it'll cost the to Victorian government. It's massive money, but they obviously see it as a necessity to get people to own their first home. But
don't they always say, economists will say that, okay, we lose it on one hand, but then you're stimulating the economy, so you get it back in other taxes. Those people, that couple that buys that house, then you know, you're producing other taxes, aren't you? Whether it's buying your petrol every week, your food, whatever
everything,
it is.
Everything.
So I suppose they do their sums on it, don't they?
I'm sure they do, and they're also very conscious of making sure houses are affordable for the next generation. So I think it's a good, brave move by the Victorian government.
Now, moving on, I remember someone saying, a lot of people saying, you know, 10-odd years ago, we will become a cashless society. And I always thought, nah, that will never, ever, ever happen. Do you know what? I think it's going to. We're heading this way. And what I'm talking about, Roo, is the fact that ATMs are on the decline.
Well, there are actual stores or shops in Adelaide that are opening up and not having a note or a coin in them. Actually, shops have already started to do that. You talk about ATMs because it's in the news today. ATMs are at a same transaction level as about 13, 14 years ago. They're actually starting to drop below that now because of PayWave.
It's so easy to PayWave, isn't it?
Some people just have their card and their phone and their key to get in the door, and that's all they need to take out.
And these days, it's relatively quick. If you're in the queue at the petrol station and someone in front of you PayWaves, it doesn't take that long.
No, it's
quick. In the old days, having to swipe a card and write out the amount, well, that was a painful process.
No, we're definitely heading towards a cashless society, and I think it's good. It's efficient for the shop behind there who doesn't have to count the money, and it's probably better for security because they can't get knocked off by some desperate needing some cash.
The government likes it.
Hey?
No cash businesses.
Yes, well, that's right. No black market.
Yeah.
That's just a sign of the time. So if you bought an ATM 5 or 10 years ago, because they deregulated that industry a bit, didn't they?
Yep, you can privately own them,
They wouldn't be too happy with that, I wouldn't have thought.
Now, what about this scandal out of the NRL that's broken over the weekend? Now, this is about a player called Bryce Cartwright, who I haven't heard of before, plays for the Penrith Panthers. And the suggestion is a girl has come forward and said she was paid $50,000. In fact, it's $59,000, not only for an abortion, but to keep quiet as well. Now, his current girlfriend has also come out and said the girl demanded a lot more money.
Okay.
So this is a seedy story. Now, I can tell you this morning, I've just seen it on Channel 7 Sunrise, the Penrith board are denying any knowledge of this. They're saying, we've got no idea where this story has come from, don't know who the girl is, and we can't comment any further. However, this girl has come out quite strongly and said, definitely, I was paid $59,000. And in fact, a middleman has been named who brokered the deal as well. So she's not holding back. She's naming people and, in fact, has named the player as well. So
she didn't... Yeah, well, that's, who knows what's happened here.
Well,
it's a touchy situation, but... she wanted more money.
According to the current girlfriend.
But she got pressured into it.
Mm.
Yeah, well, there's a few different angles who to listen to here, but
that's right.
Sounds unfortunate for everyone concerned, I would have thought. Doesn't sound good, does it?
All right.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
8:22 on this Monday morning in Adelaide. The Fringe is on in earnest. Roo, I was down on Saturday night. There were people everywhere. The atmosphere. I mean, Adelaide's just, well, they used to say Adelaide alive, and it certainly is.
It wasn't long ago. It was only every couple of years, the old Fringe, and now it's every year, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And one man sitting next to us is one of the big reasons why it's getting bigger and bigger.
Will Anderson, good morning.
Hey, thanks very much for having me in, boys. Yeah, look, when I first came here 20 years ago, it was every second year, and then they just went, nah, it's going to be every year. Probably when I come back in 5 years, it's going to be every 6 months. In about another 10 years, it'll be every second week, the Adelaide Fringe.
Just leave it up all year round.
Yeah, when the Adelaide teams are playing interstate, we're having Fringe here.
So you're come back. So this is your 20th year?
20th year.
So you're like
honorary
Adelaidean. Michael Tuck of the Fringe, aren't you?
Right. What do you mean by that? Just keep going and going, I would say.
Well, the equivalent in AFL, he played 400-odd games.
Right. Mm. You reckon that's what it is?
20, yeah, two.
You're
right.
Life member. Do you have life members?
Life member of the Adelaide Fringe.
They should
have like the ceremony.
Fame.
At
Why
the
not?
End. Yeah, I like that idea, actually. Maybe I should run through a banner into my show.
Get free tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Once you've done 20 years, you get free tickets to other people's shows, get a little medallion, you can just wave it. Life member, mate.
Garden of Will Anderson, something like that.
Yeah, and we need a venue named after
me.
I'm sorry,
I like the way you think, mate.
But that'll be when you're dead. You name things after people that die. You can't have him alive. And...
Well, I mean, I need to update you guys on whether I am going to die or not, because I left you on a cliffhanger last week. I was going to get my medical tests on my lump on my neck.
Yep.
And since then, this is the scope and power of your show, because you guys were the only people that I'd spoken to it about.
Now, we appreciate you being honest with us.
And then open. That day, oh, you're my open mic room.
Open mic.
I sit next to you and I just, everything comes out of me, mate.
You're bad. So far, open mic.
Open Roo, a whole different show. But so I went to the doctor. I had this lump on my neck to catch people up to date, and they were a little bit worried about it. And they thought it was originally like a lymph node thing that had kind of sprung up. But it turns out, and this is how my doctor told me, which is the best way to find out this news. He said, it's a tumor. It's not cancer. I was like, I'm glad you didn't warn me.
Say
it
the other way
tumor.
Around. Say it's not cancer, it's a tumor. I would have been more comfortable with that.
Do you think so?
Well, if he says you've got a tumor, I'm going, oh, play, thanks.
Right.
And he said, but it's not cancer.
But I had 1 second of going, oh, I'm going to, and then he went, nah, it's not cancer. It's fine. Apparently, it can even stay in there if I like.
Right.
I don't like. I'm going to get it cut out. He was like, you can just leave it in there. I was like, why would I do that?
Just for a talking point?
Just for fun. It looks like your Adam's apple's falling over the side of your head, guys.
Didn't you tell us also the other week that you got like a liter of pus out of it or something, didn't it?
half a litre.
And I'll be selling that after the show.
Yeah.
That's souvenir pus, and that's $5 each. You can take home some of my DNA if you've liked the show.
There you go.
You got a good doctor on your hands here. Don't get rid of him anyway, Will.
It's one of those things where I'm glad I didn't know what it was, because I thought it was something else for like 2 years, which is great.
You've been putting up with it.
Yeah, because I've been like, well, because they said it was fine. They said it's this lymph thing. It'll come up. It'll go back down again. Yeah. And then the doctor was like, well, it hasn't gone back down again. So let's
better
go
have
and,
another look at that.
Let's
Will.
Go and investigate.
Yeah, let's who knows? Cut into that growing thing there.
So they found out it was a tumor, and luckily it's not growing, right? Because if it grows, that's where it becomes problematic. So then I go home and I'm like, oh, I should look up what this tumor. Oh my God. I'm so glad I did not look that up before.
Self-assessment on the internet.
Oh, like some people look like they have an extra head. Like their necks have come. No, seriously. Their necks have come out. They're like into their shoulder and stuff. If I had looked that up before I went to the doctor, I would have lost my mind.
Pauline Hanson said, do your own research. Yeah. Don't trust doctors.
That's a good point.
Do your own research. Yeah. And there's plenty of it out there.
Dr. Google.
No, I mean, that's it. Why would you want to trust experts, mate? Like, seriously, why would you want to, like, you know, go to a doctor who knows what they're talking about when you could go to a homeopath who'll give you some cordial? Everyone loves weak cordial. This will fix everything. And rub a nut on your head. That'll get rid of your allergies.
And smell some lavender or something.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Homeopathy. And the guy that looks into your neck, let's face it, only did 14 years of university.
Yeah, 14.
When he's a specialist.
I mean, I should go and see actually one of Pauline's people, right? You know, it's probably not that at all. I probably just need to rub an avocado on it and it'll go away or something. Or it probably is an avocado. That's what it is. I probably ate an avocado. It's got stuck in my neck. Pauline's like, that's what it is. Get on with your day.
Bloody seed.
What
put
do you think?
Put a magnet on both sides. What about those people with the magnets? They work.
Oh, yeah. Put some magnets in your bag. Put some magnets.
That positive,
and then
negative.
Go to that bloke that claps two fish above your back as well.
And get the bamboo sticks next. And give it a whack with the bamboo sticks.
What's the weirdest one at the footy club that they do?
I brought up bamboo sticks because I got to a very frustrated part of my life and football career at one point and went and tried the bamboo man. And it was more painful than getting a tattoo for 10 hours on my back, I can tell you, because when they start smacking where you've been smacked for the last hour, it is very, very red and very, very raw.
Now, hang on. Can you talk us through the thinking behind this? They're like, your back and like whatever is really, really sore. So we're going to whack it with bamboo sticks.
Exactly. Because what?
And then you come out and you go, yep, I can confirm now. It was sore.
Yeah, it's really sore.
It was half believable, half not, that you needed to. But I was willing to take this risk at this stage. So anyway, I've done it. And as I'm getting smacked on the back by a little Asian fella, I'm thinking I probably shouldn't be here because you're not allowed to go and get treatment from outside the club. I'm captain at the time. And probably the highest paid player.
Very responsible.
But I was clutching at straws. Mm. Anyway, the next day I've woken up, I am black. And I'm not joking, black from the middle of my back down to the back of my knee. And I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to have a shower after training? How am I going to hide these bruises? Because in a footy club of 40 blokes, there's nowhere to hide in the change room. And I've half bloody jagged me hammy in training because it was so battered.
Oh no.
And I had to make out I was a bit tight there. Anyway, I got through, didn't do any damage, but the bamboo man wasn't for me. So yeah, no, be careful with.
I mean, I feel like most other people would have been like, no, that's not a good idea. That's like if you've got a windscreen crack and the guy from Windscreens O'Brien's get out with a cricket bat.
Yeah,
you're like, nah, man, I don't reckon this is the right approach. No, this will fix it. I'm just gonna whack it on the crack and it'll be fine.
Duct tape or a cricket bat. anyway, what's your show about tonight? Anyway,
it's called Critically Will.
Got even new material, don't worry.
The show is called Critically Will. Tonight, here's what I'll give a plug to. Tonight is it's the first time I try any of it. It's four previews, so cheaper previews the first four nights.
Right.
But tonight in particular, there's no show after me. So I get to kind of try everything tonight. So beautiful. If you're looking for a night where I say to people on the first Monday, you get 60 minutes of quality material no matter how long it takes. So I will keep going until you've got your money's worth tonight.
Good man. All right, well, good luck. Good luck on your 20th trip to Adelaide.
It was the bloke that took him an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Is that the sort of thing we're sort of show we're getting there? Will Anderson down at the Garden tonight.
Thanks.
Triple M.
The Crows had a big win yesterday. Well, not a big win, but a good win yesterday. Mm-hmm. A fighting win by 6 points over the Cats at Richmond Oval. Roo, how did you see it? What did you like?
Yeah, well, I honestly went down there thinking they were going to get a bit of a spanking. I was a little bit concerned about it, having, 10 or 11 players out of their best side not playing through either resting or injuries. And Geelong pretty much only had two players out of their best side. They did rest Dangerfield in the second half, and that definitely made a difference. But I thought it was a big step in the right direction for the Adelaide Crows. I thought Hampton once again showed that he's a chance of being an AFL footballer this year. We saw more out of Millerer, Cameron. Atkins has definitely taken another step forward after a great year last year. I think seeing Laird more through the midfield is going to beef that up as well. Got an opportunity to see young Gallucci, the top draft pick from last year.
What's he like?
He's definitely got some signs of being a good footballer. A lot of speed through the midfield. Didn't use the ball great, but you can expect that in the first game in windy conditions that didn't quite get it right. Riley Knight had a run around. And I think Matt Crouch is going to take another step forward and be a really, really good midfielder, AFL midfielder this year. He averaged about 25 touches last year, but I think he's going to take a step forward. So I think Crows people will be happy with that performance. I think they'd want to take it to another level this weekend against Brisbane and have a good win in their last hit out. But I think, don't be too panicky about the midfield depth at Adelaide. A lot of people are at the moment, but I reckon there's going to be a few blokes that's going to be able to step up and help bridge that gap.
So, was the crowd kind to Dangerfield yesterday?
Yeah, I think they're over that. I think they'd still wish he was in our side, but he's beefed up a little bit too, Dale. Unless it was just the white uniform that you were talking about earlier, but I reckon he's mid-90s or plus now. He's a big boy, and in fact, a lot of the Geelong fellas look like they've done a bit of work in the gym over the summer. So I think they're going to be a good side, Geelong, but I think, I was surprised they got rolled yesterday, so it was a good day for Adelaide.
All right, Port Adelaide went down to Richmond.
Well, he winds up inside the 50. Grimes got a spoil in. That was spectacular. And there's the siren. Nice wing for Richmond in their second JLT Community Series hit out. They win by 28 points over Port Adelaide in Mount Gambier.
Did you get to see this one, Roo?
I watched the second half of this game. Just got back from watching the Crows and then tuned into the second half. I actually probably saw a bit of the second quarter as well. So from what I saw, I haven't seen too much different to last year at this stage. Did you watch the whole game?
Second half only.
You saw the second half as well, so you would have saw the same as what I did. But still, I'm not seeing any signs of much different. The skill level's not where it needs to be. I think there's still a bit of indecision in what they're trying to do. Brett Eddy looks like he's might have a role to play in the forward line. He gives them something different. He's just about a straight swap for Jay Schultz, the way he goes about it. Still seeing Charlie Dixon not quite doing what he needs to do. I still don't know if they're comfortable playing genuine ruckman. I'm not sure where Lobie's going to be in round one, whether they can afford to have Ryder, Lobie, Trengove, Westhoff, all those sort of players in the same side. So
I thought Ryder looked all right with his tap work.
Yeah, I think Ryder will be the first ruckman.
his tap work was very good, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think they need to play Ryder and use Hoff and Trengove as their second ruckman. I don't think they can play Lobie as well. Ball use still worries me a little bit, Dits, and they need to tidy that up. The opposition, I think, get too many free opportunities on the back of that. Pittard out's going to be a bit of an issue for them going forward, but I don't know. Where do you see him at the moment? Have you seen anything significant? I know it's only weeks one and two. You can't read too much into it.
I just think there's a lot of young players out there. There were a lot of boys there yesterday that weren't playing round one.
Yeah, and I do like some of the younger players. I think they are giving them an opportunity at the moment, and that's a good thing, and that's what the first 2 weeks are for. But if you say they've got a lot of young kids in there, I mean, who have they got to come back in their side, though, Dits?
Yeah, but yesterday I saw Riley Bonner running around. There was that Willem Jew.
Houston.
Yeah, there are a few players like that.
Pepper, he looks like a ready-made player. I think they've done well getting him with their first pick. And they had Attlee and Johnson and those sort of players.
See, they're not all going to play.
Robbie Gray only played a half from what I could see. Wingard didn't have a big game. So there's plenty of improvement there as well. But I think if you're a Port Adelaide fan, you would really want to see a very good performance against Hawthorn at Noarlunga this weekend. If you think they've only been mucking around and experimenting and not being too concerned about weeks one or two of the pre-season, you'd want to see a good performance against Hawthorn. If you don't see a good performance against Hawthorn this weekend, then I think you can start to panic.
Just before we move on, have you seen Carlton's results in their first two games?
Yes.
Are there big concerns there?
They had a lot of blokes out on the weekend. They played a young side. But Carlton have got to go backwards further before they go forwards. Carlton's best players.
Really?
Yeah, Carlton's best players are their older players.
Mm.
And that's why a lot of people thought they might have traded out some of their older players at the end of the year to keep bringing young players through. But if you have a look, at their best players, Dits, and they're all still their older players. So I think they're going to go backwards.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Every Monday and every Thursday, I think I'm going to dread this segment, Roo, but we talk to this fella, Mick Molloy. Good morning, Mick.
Dits, you're a loser. Can I say this? The entire state of South Australia has had its pants pulled down in consecutive weeks by the mighty Tigers. Feel the wrath of the Tiger, Adelaide! Bang, bang, the 1-2 punch on the canvas, twitching. There you are. I don't know. Maybe you should go back to your local competition and see how you're travelling. Did Adelaide ever win on the weekend? What happened to them?
Yeah, knocked off the Cats, mate. Just to, you know, we just had to bounce back after you guys touched us up a week or two ago.
I'm suggesting they sign Hardwick up immediately on a 10-year deal.
Probably will. They might extend him out by 3 years.
There's two teams that can win the flag this year. It's GWS and the Tigers, and we've got to work out. I suppose it'll come down to injuries. The good news is that Delidio got injured over the weekend, so that's fantastic. Hopefully he'll never play again as a GWS
legend.
As a club legend. You know who I love? You might know much about him, this new guy, Nankervis, a ruckman.
Sydney.
Good pickup. According to everything, white line fever. Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth till he strolls across the line. And then it's bingo bango.
He's an offspring of Mumford.
So it was a great. That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll take that. So great weekend for sport. So the cricket win. We're winning that tick. The Tigers tick, and Mount Eliza Legends game. Mick Molloy captained the winning side at his old cricket club down there in a T10.
Clash what's for T10? What's
T10? T10, it's like 10 overs each.
When you really don't want cricket to get in the way of the after party? Right,
I'll tell you, it gets really gruelling, overs 8 to 10.
You really got to dig deep.
When you have to dig deep.
Well, how many overs before you have drinks?
Oh, twice. Yeah, two drinks breaks during. Well, I won the toss and elected to field first, so we could then retire to the bar.
Courageous.
And have it only interrupted by two overs at the crease. So it was fantastic. And how's this? It was an old. It was a game for club legends, social game, and one bloke got carted off to a hospital in an ambulance with a broken jaw.
Oh no! Well,
from after, a bouncer or from the a bouncer. After party?
He got classed in the after party. No, it was a bouncer and hit flush on the jaw. They called an ambulance, and as how's this? This is why I love Australian players and their ability. Before the ambulance could take him away, one of our players has run off the ground, opened the door of the ambulance, and given him a spray.
Yeah.
Ah, you big clown. I hope why don't you get a bedpan and sit down and have a piss when you get into hospital? We're standing on the field going, take him straight to the Royal Women's. You're lucky it's not a hearse. There's just no sympathy. And guess the man of the match was given to the bloke who hit him in the gym with a bouncer.
Oh, no.
Well, he was only a spin bowler. It was a pretty good effort.
He was a spin bowler. I was captain, and I unfortunately consider the beanie a legitimate delivery. So there was a fair few of those floating around, but what a great day it was.
Did you star Mick with the bat or ball?
With both. I took a wicket maiden and then carried my bat and would have had a run out, an absolute classic, if the keeper hadn't got between me and the stumps.
Oh, no.
Don't think he didn't cop one full pelt right in the back. And the only more dangerous place on the day was between the bar and me in the post-match celebrations. That's the only place you could have got more hurt. What a great day.
Mount Eliza, what are you known as? Are you Tigers or Magpies or anything like that or not? Anything ferocious?
We're Red Legs. So we're used to wear the Melbourne jumpers. And we were always considered this in our competition, which is surrounded by Frankston and Pines and all those places, we're always considered like the pretty boys. So, yeah, I know, it's terrible. And so every week, when we were playing cricket and football, players used to line up to just beat the hell out of us. And also their fans used to love to get stuck into us. I remember this, I'll tell you a quick story before we go. But Mount Eliza were playing Pines one day, and Pines are the most, think of Elizabeth or somewhere like that.
Right.
Yeah, just, really keep the engine running kind of joint, you know, when you get out of the car. So we're playing at Pines, and they hated us, and all their supporters came down, about 400 to the ground, and they're all sitting around, oh, you go back to your private schools, you rich boys, yeah, blah, 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 hoeing into us. And we'd had enough. And finally, after about 3.5 quarters of this, one of our fans turned around to them and said, mate, shut up or I'll put up your rent. And we felt good about that. That was a small win for the Mounties.
Good stuff, Mick. We'll talk to you Thursday morning.
Done.
Mick Malloy.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
At this time every Monday, we throw the phones open. People want to have their say about anything that happened over the weekend, anything they want to comment on, okay, on 133353.
We seem to be getting the same phone calls from the same few guys and girls at the moment, though, don't we?
Okay. Mm. All right, let's go to our first caller. Good morning.
Yeah, good day, boys.
Oh, who's that?
That's Jess.
Tex! Gee, how are you, Tex?
God, you dominated in the third quarter yesterday.
There you go.
Yeah, good win. Yeah, wasn't bad. I had a bit of cherry on the boot, got 2-2, but, you know, I'll be cherry ripe in a couple of weeks and hopefully we'll get the chocolates.
Right, okay.
All confectionery's there.
And you went off in the last quarter and Geelong made a comeback. A bit of coincidence?
Mm. Yeah, I was sitting on the bench and, you know, you know how we were in Adelaide?
Yeah.
And we're playing at Richmond Oval.
Yeah.
In Melbourne, in Richmond, I was thinking, do they have an Adelaide Oval?
I don't know. They might.
I'm not sure,
Can you find out?
Yeah.
I'll find out for you, buddy.
That's a good question, Tex.
I asked Bernie. He said, no, they didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, it must be right then.
Anyway, this bloke, he goes into the doctor, and he's got a steering wheel hanging out the front of his pants.
Yeah.
And the doc says, how long has that been there? And he says, I don't know, but it's driving me nuts.
No, good on your text. He always has a dad joke for us. Yeah, all right. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
It's me.
Who's that?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Oh, hello, Helen.
Helen, you had a big weekend with Clipsil.
Where were you, Christopher?
Well, I was busy on the weekend.
I know you were. We were meant to meet at the German club for $19 schnitzel and beer.
No, we weren't. No.
And then go to the Clipsal after that. You didn't turn up. I went home and I saw you on the television.
Really?
At the Mardi Gras.
No, it wasn't me, Helen.
I saw you on the Ranga float.
The Ranga float.
No, I think it was someone else.
You had a pair of shorts on, tight sequin shorts, and it said Fanta on the back. I was not very impressed.
No.
He's still sponsored.
Yeah. No. Anyway, thanks, Helen. Thanks for calling in. We've got time for one more. Our last call. Hello, good morning.
Hey, hello, Roo Boy. Hello, Dick.
Hey.
Tommy.
I didn't think you were ringing today.
You know, Clipsal is on, and what happened there, they said a crowd is down. But you know, crowd down there, crowd down at Tommy's restaurant, it always happened. Crowd down, where the crowd go? I don't know, poor Tommy. You?
No, not sure. They're saying lowest crowd in 12 years.
But you know, they have no concert. People come into a Tommy restaurant, say, what happened to a concert? And the Clipsal, I say, Tim Finn. They have concert for Tim Finn. They have a soup named after him because he performed. We call it Tim Finn soup, you know. But what if Greg Norman come in? We just call it shark fin soup, you know.
Shark fin soup. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very adaptable.
Right. But I don't mind the concert, you know. You boys see Meatloaf?
Yeah.
Tommy don't serve that at his restaurant, but you know, I had a friend go see Meatloaf. Apparently he's not good anymore. He says so bad since he saw Meatloaf. He has been vegetarian ever since.
Put him right on.
See you, boys. See you down the restaurant soon.
The restaurant's called what?
Oh, you know, they come down to Tommy's. I'm in Gujar Street. It's called the New Jade Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw Peking Mandarin Inn. Come down for some Tim Finn soup.
Right. We'll see you for Yum Cha on Friday, Tommy. Our favourite restaurant.
Oh, he's had a big weekend, Tommy.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I've had a hard week. I've had a hard few days, it all started.
I don't think you're on your own.
No? I was listening to you talk the other day, and I hope you don't mind me bringing your parents into this, but you have helped them with a diet situation.
Oh, yeah, they're just trying to lose a few kilos, so they've tried the Optifast diet, and it's doing a good job so far for them.
And how much have they lost?
Oh, they're going well. They've lost a few kilos, so they're heading in the right direction.
Okay. So, having overheard you talking about, I thought I'd sneak out and give it a go myself. Now, it's fair to say, Roo, back when I used to be, you know, sort of an athlete, I played at about 84 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I'm 108. So, you know, put on a couple over the years. But
Jesus,
I think I carry it, you know. I carry it well.
Yeah, you can hardly tell.
But thought, you know, after the Christmas period and there are so many functions we're going to, and we went to Port Lincoln, I thought maybe I'll have a crack at this. You know,
yeah, it was good timing.
Can I just say, how on earth people go through that? It is hell.
Hey, you know, one of our great mates, Neil Craig, used to say it takes discipline to lose weight.
Mm.
And from what I can see, you've got none.
None.
Zero.
So I went through the first day.
No. You did not get through a first day.
So you have this milkshake thing for breakfast, and it tastes all right. By the way, nothing wrong with the taste.
Mm.
But I wanted 10 of them because I was starving. We start here early in the morning, so I had it at about 6 o'clock as we went to air.
Yeah.
Come lunchtime, I felt like I was living in Ethiopia or something. I was dying. I needed a feed.
Yeah, well, you go.
So I was counting the minutes to the next one. I'm like, bloody hell. And the one thing you said to me was, oh, once you have these milkshakes, they're really, yeah, they fill you up. You're not hungry.
My parents have told me. They lied.
They bloody lied. I was starving. So anyway, I had the second one, and then I looked mid-afternoon. I looked, bugger this.
You started eating, didn't you?
So I started eating. But you're allowed to have a milkshake for breakfast, milkshake for lunch, and then have a meal at night.
Yeah.
But honestly, I was crawling to the finish line.
Your discipline is something to be proud of.
So I got to day two, and I had the milkshake for breakfast. And then at about 11 a.m., I grabbed the whole box.
Big Mac.
And I threw them in the bin. They might as well have given me a cardboard box full of air because that's how hungry I was. I felt like I'd had nothing.
I think it's fair to say it's not for you, but
it's not for me.
Very, very good for other people.
It took me a day to work it out. It's not for me. So look, no, but seriously, and you know what a doctor once said to me, and it's very crass to say this, but a doctor said to me, he said, there weren't too many fat POWs, you know.
Mm.
And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, just don't eat.
Yeah.
Like, stop eating so much.
You got to train yourself not to eat. Apparently, another mate of mine's lost a lot of weight. He just said, you get used to it.
Being starving to death.
Yeah, well, not eating
hallucinating, as much. You know, being dizzy.
Yeah, you do get all of that about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Getting cranky,
getting
argumentative.
Yeah.
It's bloody horrible.
But you've probably got to pick your time of the year to or your weeks to start a diet too. Mm-hmm. Heading to the Port Lincoln Cup or heading to Clipsal for 4 days or Mad March, it's not the easiest time of the year. Like December's not the best time of the year. Or January because, you know, the weather's warm.
Mm.
Even February, a lot of people like to do it because it's 28 days.
So which month have we got, do you think?
Well, April's too hard because it's school holidays and Easter. About May.
May,
you can start thinking about
it. I've got a window in May, have I?
It's wet.
Yeah.
It's starting to get a little bit cold.
Right.
But then the footy pies come out a little bit when you're doing the footy too, so that makes it a bit hard as well. And it's hard to get out and exercise when it rains.
But look, I'm not here to bag any companies, but I'm just saying I don't think it's normal or right to just try and live on these milkshakes. And
you
people
just
are doing
keep
it.
Overeating and drinking heaps of booze.
No. I'm suggesting that it is the right way to do it, to eat sense, eat good things, eat vegetables and drink water and get off the grog. That is obvious. And exercise.
And it's heaps of fun too.
And exercise. And be the world's most boring bloke. That's right. No, but surely that's the only way to do it. You can't live on these milkshakes. Come on.
You've just got to hide. You've got to hide. You've got to be boring. And, you've just got to lock yourself away from society.
Can I just
turn your phone off.
It's good working with you as well. Like the day I did come to your house when you had a barbecue, I said, no, I'm not drinking today, Roo. You get out. I said, no, I'm not. I'm taking it easy. Well, bloody hell, that lasts about 1 minute.
Can I just remind you what day that was?
What?
AFL Grand Final. Yeah. You bloody idiot. Wow. I had everything organised. The fridge was full of food and booze.
But I tried.
20-odd people were coming around to celebrate one of the greatest days of the year, and you're going to try and have a quiet day.
I've worked it out now. I've ended up 108 kilos since I started working with you.
Hey, well, I'm well over 100 too, so I'm not throwing any stones at the moment.
Anyway, that was our health segment, all right? Mm. We're here to help.
So be disciplined, guys. Be boring. And don't talk to your mates.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Okay, Clipsal's come and gone, Roo, and another successful weekend. Although they say ticket sales were slightly down, but I don't know. I was out and about on Saturday night. Massive crowd in the city. Hotels were full everywhere. So I think
we're still over 70,000 on Saturday, Sunday. I mean, we're still talking about very big crowds. It's just not as big as they've been in the past.
But what about the future of it? Let's get our sports minister on, Leon Bignall. Biggles, good morning.
G'day, Dits. G'day, Roo. G'day to all your listeners.
Can you confirm that was Clipsal's last involvement in the race?
Yeah, they've done a great job. Clipsal, a fantastic relationship for the last 18 years, but that was their last one. And we're talking to a couple of big companies, national and international companies, about taking over those naming rights from next year.
All right. What about OTR, a local company, on the run? They've been mentioned, it's been rumoured that they could be the company taking over.
Yeah, look, it's not really their fit because they're a great South Australian company, but not really with that national, international profile. This is, we're talking with companies that have well-known brand names, not just here in Australia, but around the world. So really big times, and it's an expensive sponsorship, but it's worth it. If you talk to anyone and ask them what Adelaide's race is called, they call it the Clipsal 500.
Yep, it's
pretty good name association and a great event.
What's the position of the supercars financially? There's a few rumours around that they've been doing it a bit tough. Are they going okay?
Yeah, they're doing really well. I've got to say, of all the sporting codes that we deal with, supercars have got to be the best that we have the best relationship with them of all the codes. So professional, the drivers, the team owners, James Warburton and his staff at supercars, they're unbelievable. It's a really good organisation. Obviously, they're undergoing some change because, Ford and Holden pulling out of production in Australia will have an effect. So I think they've set that up over the past few years, bringing Nissan in and, trying to work with Volvo and Mercedes. So it's going to evolve over the next few years, but look, unbelievable racing out there over the past 4 days.
Because I agree with what you said, and can I, put this to you as well, that I think when we interview the drivers, they are the most professional sports people. Talk about speaking
accessible.
Well, accessible, and also selling their sport. They are amazing, Biggles. They really are. Look, I just want to put this to you further, because someone has contacted us to say that the sport is in big, big trouble financially. With Ford and Holden pulling out of Australia, it's not helping the future of it. And I'm reluctant to say this this morning, Biggles, because I don't want to rain on the parade. It's a brilliant event for Adelaide, but so you're saying that the sport actually isn't in financial trouble.
Well, you know, you want to speak to James Warburton about that, but yep. Certainly none of the indicators I got, and I was talking to people who were out here from Ford in Michigan, you know, and other parts of the US. I mean, this is a great series on a world scale, and Adelaide puts on the best race of all the supercar races. And, you know, the team owners will tell you that, the drivers will tell you that, everyone involved in the sport. So, you know, I think you might want to check your facts. It might be the same person who handed that envelope at the Academy Awards, mate. Might be La La La.
What could be?
What's happening with the two tracks next year? Are we going to have the or Tailem Bend and Adelaide City race as well?
Well, that's our long-term plan. The second race at Tailem Bend hasn't been sanctioned yet, but you know, we've got, as I said, the biggest and the best race with Adelaide and the street circuit. Tailem Bend's going to be a completely different proposition, but a wonderful one. You know, the track that the Shaheens and are building out there through their Peregrine.
When's that going to happen?
Well, that'll be finished by late this year, I think commissioned early next year. So I think that their ambitions are for next year. We've still got to work through a few things, and so do supercars. But it's going to be an amazing track out there, a completely different proposition to what you see on a street circuit. So they'll have mounds where people go and put their picnic blankets and their chairs out. There's even one spot, I think, where you can drive your car up, like the country footy, and just sit there and listen to Triple M and watch
beautiful.
The cars go by.
Beautiful. All right, we'll sit there together, Biggles. We'll have an esky and we'll do that.
That'd be awesome.
What about the financial impact of Clipsal on Adelaide and South Australia?
Yeah, it's worth about $65 million. And as
65?
You said, $65 million, and it fills every hotel room in Adelaide. And that's even with Airbnb coming on. There's still, you know, there's just not enough accommodation. And one thing I should point out is the crowds were down a bit this year, but the interstate and New Zealand visitors were up. And that's been a really targeted thing that we've done since we took it from the Motorsport Board. We got rid of the board. We've brought it into the South Australian Tourism Commission. The Tourism Commission guys know how to market this race to people interstate and overseas. You look at New Zealand, heaps of Kiwi drivers out there in the supercars, plus the series goes to New Zealand each year. So it kind of makes sense to get the New Zealanders over here. Met a few down there around the track over the weekend, and they were just having a ball.
You've been out of the fringe and over the last week or so, Biggles?
I've got to say, Saturday night I went to the theatre, and it was in a quarry up at Anstey Hill, the Secret River, one of the great plays I've ever seen, so get along to that.
I'm actually going to that next week. One of my mate's sons is in that show.
It is awesome.
It's brilliant.
It is one of the best things I've ever seen. And then the opera. Haven't been to much opera in my life.
The opera. Come on, Biggles.
Come on, Biggles.
So 5:30 on Friday afternoon, I'm doing a hot lap with Nick Percat. I'm doing a hot lap with Nick Percat. 7 o'clock, I'm sitting there in the festival theatre, suit and tie, got the bag and food on, watching the opera.
Did you have those little binoculars on the stick that they wear?
No, but I was asking the bloke next to me what was happening.
Hey, he'll had a drink at the opera.
Absolutely, Coopers. It's all Coopers, mate.
Well done, Biggles. Thanks for joining us.
There you go. Hey, the women's footy on Saturday night was excellent at Norwood too. 12,500 out there. I went for that. Yeah, that was amazing.
That was very good.
Good on you, Biggles.
And Neil Finn last night. Neil Finn free concert. Mate, I've been everywhere.
Yeah, you have.
Tell Peter Gers it was a good show on Saturday night. He had a good article in the paper yesterday.
I didn't read that. But he doesn't like the car race. He wants us to move it out of his backyard.
Doesn't like a lot of things.
Yeah. Well done. Leon Vignall, our sports minister. Gee, got out and about on the weekend.
Very busy man.
104.7 Triple M.
Get it off your chest with Ruin Ditt's Red Fist.
It's therapy. It's therapy this part of the show, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, especially on a Monday.
Something that's getting you down or annoying you or, I don't know, it might be even Dobby and a mate who's annoying you. It could be anything.
Could be anything.
Yeah, and we've got tickets to give away to the footy to our best call.
Yes.
Do you want to go and see the Crows this weekend?
Down at Noarlunga on Saturday.
Right, what's your red fist today, Roo?
I'm sick of being tired, Ditts. I'm sick of being tired. You know, like...
Whose fault is it?
We've got to go out and socialise, don't we? Well, we're in Lincoln Thursday. We had to go to Calcutta Thursday night and stay up and host and talk to people and get up early, do the show, come back to Adelaide. And just when you thought you'd get a good sleep, Dits, bloody Tom and Rock are up at 4:30 in the morning on the weekend.
It's their fault.
It's their fault. They should have known that Dad's been out working for a few days, and all he wanted to do was come home and have a quiet sleep in with the wife.
Yep.
But up at 4:30.
And how old's Rocco now?
Rocco is very mature aged. He's just hit 11 months.
Should
know a lot better.
Should know more.
He should know a lot better than to wake Dad up after working over in Port Lincoln
for a couple
of days.
Tom that's 11 months, isn't it?
Tom, yeah. What do I say, Rocco?
When you get home, so try and recognise your own kids. Yeah.
That's our time. That is our time.
Maybe name tags at home might help, Sarah, so he knows which ones are his. So how old's Rocco?
Rocco is 3. Yeah. He should know better.
Rocco should know better, mate. Come on. Listening.
Both awake this morning when I come to work.
No, I can understand.
Where are you?
My red fist is actually at the Geelong Football Club. And maybe not just the Geelong Football Club, but the AFL. Bloody away and pre-season Guernseys. They rolled up in T-shirts yesterday. white T-shirts. I think it's a disgrace.
Yeah, they weren't even jumpers. I saw that. Warm-up tops.
Come on. That's a T-shirt you'd buy at the shop. To say I support Geelong, surely. Look, Roo, I understand. I want to ask you a serious question as a board member. The distinction between having different jumpers so people buy them and you make money out of it through your shop, as opposed to I want to play for the love of the Guernsey. In other words, have a traditional Guernsey that, you know, and as you know, Eddie's been very, very strong at Collingwood about this for a long, long time.
Yep.
They will only ever wear their Guernsey.
Yep.
You know, I'm a bit old-fashioned, as you know, and I like the fact that let's play for the jumper. I'm sick and tired of these clubs' Guernseys. I really am. And what Geelong wore yesterday was a bloody T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm not sure why those happen. I mean, they're not going to sell that many of those, surely, in a pre-season comp. Who's going to rush out and say, I want to get a Geelong,
Geelong jumper is a classic jumper.
Yeah.
It's different. It's unique.
No, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of away strips. Never have been. I can understand the need of a clash Guernsey when there's a clash. Yeah. Not for the sake of it, but only when there's a clash.
Correct.
And that's the only time I think it should be worn.
Yeah.
Wear the white shorts. Most of the time that's enough to separate the two teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't come up at board level and we need to have it just to make a few extra dollars.
Mm. Why do they do it? There's got to be something to it.
Yeah, not sure, to be honest. There's definitely money in it, but... I'm with you on that one, Dits. 100%.
All right. 133353. What's your red fist for our best call? We're going to send you off to Noarlunga this weekend to see the Crows. Who are you playing?
Brisbane.
There you go.
Mighty
Big
Bears.
Down at Noarlunga this weekend. 133353. Red fist time.
Get it off your chest with Ruin Dits Red Fist.
Ah, indeed. Now's your chance. 6:51 it is on this Monday morning. Who have you got, Roo?
Let's go to Plimpton. G'day, Alex.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. Well, who do you want to give a red fist to?
My red fist goes out to all the customers that I have that complain about how hot it is in the central markets. When they come from their air-conditioned office, they leave their 23-degree room, come here in the markets, it's 4 degrees for 20 minutes, and complain the hell out of me.
All right. Tell me, Alex, now, you've obviously got a stall there, have you?
I do.
Which one have you got?
Well, perfect cup in the markets.
Ah, perfect cup. Now, does a bit of a breeze blow through there from one end to the other at times or not?
Not at all. If it's 40 degrees outside, it's 40 degrees inside.
Oh, okay. All right. So no relief whatsoever?
No. Air conditioning's terrible. I think it was made back in the 70s and still hasn't changed since.
Oh, well, that's what we love about
it. Still a great place to come to.
That's what we love.
Alex?
Yeah.
Head to Craigmore. G'day, Victoria.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, Victoria. Thanks. Who do you want to give a red fist to?
Roosters in suburban
backyard.
Roosters?
What, you got a rooster next door?
Yes, a very large one. It starts at about 5:15 every morning, and he's still going when I get home from work at about 5 o'clock at night.
Oh,
and
no.
Is it legal to have a rooster in suburbia?
I don't know.
Ring the council.
But I like my neighbours.
Be good on the web, I reckon.
If you're listening.
We had one caller.
Put a beer can up its bum and put it in your Weber. That's all right. Maybe a bit of lemon, a bit of oil.
Didn't we have a caller not long ago that said they used to set up the rooster call during the day just to annoy it so it was that tired at night
to pay
and slept?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so try that, Victoria.
Yeah,
that
I told you my old favourite, Roo. Try the beer can chicken. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, what flavour beer do you use?
No, you can any flavour you like.
No matter, whatever's left over.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
You'd have to stretch it a bit, wouldn't you?
Aluminium poisoning, yeah. But apart from that, no, it fits in beautifully, like a glove. Yeah.
Jeez.
So you whack, open the can of beer, full can of beer, put it up the chicken's bum and in your Weber. Yeah. There you go. So that fixes that rooster, Victoria. Glad to help.
All right. VB rooster.
Yeah. Now, who are you sending off to the footy, Roo?
Victoria needs to go to the footy to get away from that rooster, I think.
Okay. Well, she'll be up early for the footy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, rooster will get her up.
She'll be there for the warm-up.
She won't be late.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, in recent times, I personally, on this program, I've praised Pauline Hanson over a couple of things that she's had to say. And when I say praise, I'm just saying that I think at times she's a little bit misunderstood. Don't agree with everything she says or does, but
she says what she thinks.
And I think she's very, very much about, we talked last week, for example, about our kids getting the jobs rather than flying in people from overseas. I tend to agree with some of those things that she says. However, on the weekend, I think the poor love did just get a little bit confused. Here's what she's had to say about Vladimir Putin.
You know, I listened to a speech that he gave in Parliament, and even the people here in Australia were saying, I wish we had a leader like that here. I wish someone would actually stand up and fight for this country, and that's what the people expect. I think he's a strong man, and I think what I was reading, about 97% of people in his country respect him as a leader.
Now, he might be strong in certain ways, but Roo, there are those people that believe, let's look at a couple of issues. MH17, for example. Now, he's never come out and apologised for what his country did.
Mm.
No one's suggesting that he pulled the trigger and actually shot that plane down. However, his military did. So there are issues like that that the world actually has with Vladimir Putin and with Russia, which is putting him, I think it's fair to say, offside with the rest of the world.
Yep.
So when Pauline comes out and praises him and says what a good fella he is, I don't know, you know. And then there's been speculation. Again, it's pure speculation, but in recent times, a couple of his opponents have found themselves poisoned, having spoken out. Unlucky. Having spoken out against him. Now, can't, again, point the finger at him, but there are those that do believe that if you're in Russian politics and you're not on his side, it's a fairly hairy game to play.
That's right, yeah.
So, anyway, this is the bloke that Pauline thinks is fantastic. Let's hear some more.
Well, my comments were, I respect the man. He is very patriotic towards his country. The people love him. He's you know, doing so well for the country. So many Australians here want that leadership here in Australia. They want a leader here to stand up for the people and fight for this nation.
Is that what she's more referring to, the fact that style of leader rather than some of the things he does, or shouldn't you even say you like his strong leadership because it's too blurred?
No, well, everyone's got their own opinion. But,
do they like him over there? Do you know enough, or not?
Not really, but haven't you seen the pictures of him with his shirt off with a couple of rifles in his hand as well, gun-toting Malcolm Turnbull, these are the photos we want to see of you. She had her say also, would you believe, about child vaccination. She covered many topics.
I advise parents to go out and do their own research with regards to this. I think
How could they be better equipped than the medical people?
Like all these other drugs that we've had over the years that have actually destroyed people's lives as well. There's enough information out there. No one is going to care any more about the child than the parents themselves. Make an informed decision. What I don't like about it is the blackmailing that's happening with the government. That's a dictatorship. And I think people have a right to investigate themselves.
Interesting she uses the word dictatorship, because that's what everyone reckons Putin is, yet here she's against it our government suggests. Look, Roo, you've got kids. Seriously, are you equipped or am I equipped to know these medical things? Should we be making those decisions?
I do, certainly, on that one. They're the educated ones. They're the ones that have studied it, and I'll back them in 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, I reckon I would too. What about the thing she said about the medicines that have destroyed our lives? Any idea what she's talking about there?
No, there's been sort of no references to that, I don't think.
Now, Mel, the button pusher, you've got a little two-year-old. What's Pauline referring to here?
That could be a historical reference. Do you remember thalidomide babies?
Yes.
So I can't remember why women were given that drug during pregnancy, but it caused massive problems for their offspring.
Deformities.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is the one that we can think of in history.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.